of the Spirit is. Because he intercedes for us according to the will of God. And we know that God's causing all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he called, and whom he called, he justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? What shall we say of these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Listen, he who did not spare his own son, verse 32, but delivered him over us for us all, then how will he not also with him freely give us all for all things? Isn't that great? Listen, if he didn't spare the best, why wouldn't he give the rest? He gave you the best. And the rest comes with that. And when I look at this passage of scripture and I see all these things that God's done, all these things that God is doing. And then he says in verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Oh, just one person said no. And I know you're not used to this, but I'm going to ask the question and you're going to say no, okay, right? Okay, I'm going to start over, right? Not way over. So he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Man, y'all got kind of less convicted as you went. We need to grow in our conviction. Amen? Listen, no. And he's given us all things. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you're moving through, whatever trial is yours, whatever loss you have today, the Bible says that there's nothing in this life that's going to separate you from the love of Christ. It is a truth that we must believe. It's a truth that we receive when we enter into life, when we enter into the battle. And some of you are in the battle. You're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of the war. Listen, the Bible says in all these things, look at verse 37, in all these things, tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Now, I'm convinced that neither death, life, angels, principalities, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Nothing at all. This is the promise of Scripture. When you've come to Christ, when Jesus comes into your life, the Bible says the Spirit is given to you as a seal, okay? As a seal of a promise. And God, listen, what God promises, he always accomplishes. And so he gives us the Spirit as first fruit. And then that first fruit of the Spirit comes into our lives. And then we begin moving through life. And it doesn't take long to realize that we've not been dismissed from the war. We've always been in the war. We've just been brought into the winning side. And we have this great promise in Scripture as we look through the Scriptures in the last few weeks. I mean, this is the ninth message on the series on how will you war in spiritual warfare. And we've got to continually remind ourselves that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the boredom even, that nothing separates us from the kingdom of God. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. He has sealed us forever. And you know, when I look at this passage of Scripture and then Ephesians, and go on to Ephesians to our main text over the last several weeks, this is the thought. In Christ, you are armed, you are equipped, you are empowered to always be victorious against the schemes of the enemy. Did you catch that? In Christ, you are armed, equipped, empowered to always be victorious against the schemes of the enemy. No matter what happens today, you can overwhelmingly triumph. Matter of fact, he doesn't just say you can overwhelmingly conquer. We all overwhelmingly conquer. Listen, church, will you believe that today? Will you believe it as a fact from Scripture, as a word from God, that we don't just can do it, we overwhelmingly conquer. And if you're not overwhelmingly conquering today, you must get to a place, maybe a quiet place, maybe even today, to say, God, what is it in my life, what is it in our lives that's hindering the promise of God in my life? Because he's given you everything you need to overwhelmingly conquer. Do you remember in this passage of Scripture, when you start looking at it, he's saying, listen, he has given us the Spirit of the living God, and he's interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. That's what you've got. You've got the Spirit of God empowering you and praying for you according to the will of God. And then he goes on and he says, listen, not only that, he's done this. Everything that happens in your life, he's going to make it all right. He's going to cause it to work together for your good. It's for your good, so that the purposes of God might be fulfilled. Filled in your life. And then he goes on and says, hey, he's given you his best, he's given you his son, and he's going to give you the rest. He's going to give you everything you need. Matter of fact, Jesus died, he rose again, he's at the right hand of the God, and not only is the Spirit living in you to intercede for you in your dark hours, in your light hours, in your waking, and your sleeping hours, he is also interceding for us on our behalf. Can you imagine that? That Jesus is at the right hand, ruling and reigning, and while he's ruling and reigning, he's praying for you according to the will of God. It is a powerful promise of God. And that's why he says, listen, look at everything that you have in Christ, everything that he's given to you by the Spirit of God, and know because of these things, there's nothing that can separate you from his love. And what the enemy wants to do is come fire a dart at you to say, yes, it can. There's things in this life that can separate you from the love of Christ. And I'm going to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. If you are in Christ today, there is nothing that can separate you from his life. Now, there's times in our lives when we might do some goofy stuff. We might do some stuff that's actually we go sin, and we might have a season of that. And I would tell you, in those days, that's not a very good place to be. Amen. Hey, when you're living in sin and you're living your own way and you're self-directed and not God-directed, is there anything happy about your life in those days? Absolutely not. And what happens is we still reap what we sow. So it's really, really important when I'm saying nothing can separate you, yet there's still consequences to sin. There's still consequences to the way we live our life. Good consequences and good rewards and good fruit the way we live. Now, when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, we see that he gives us this armor. He calls it the armor of God. And he says it like this in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Let me say this. In light of what we've just been talking about, giving you everything you need to live life, when you come to Christ, he gives you the armor of God. You don't have to go find pieces of armor at a garage sale. You don't have to go wish and think, oh, I need this for the war. No, you have it all. Amen? You believe that? Well, turn to your neighbor and say, I got it all. Amen. Say it with conviction next time, okay? I have everything I need to live godly, holy in this present life. I have it by Christ, not by my own strength, not by anything that who I am, because without him, my heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Without him, I'm in the flesh. Without him, I'm going to be self-directed. I'm not going to be God-directed, but I've got everything I need in Christ Jesus. I have the full armor of God, and that's why he says, hey, put on the full armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. Listen, our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against your spouse. It's not against the judge. It's not against whatever and whoever. It's a spiritual battle. It's against rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It is against Satan and his demonic beings. One of the great things about who we are in Christ is who we're not in the enemy. Really important. Who we're not as far as the enemy is concerned. Listen, the enemy is a defeated foe. He is done. He is finished. Jesus crushed his head at the cross. The thing is, today he's coming into your life to crush him in your life. But he's done. He is finished, the scripture says. How come we act like he's not? How come we live and believe like he's not finished with us? Well, we are in a war. We are. But listen, he is ultimately defeated. He is still around. He is still allowed to continue to roam. And so there are these passages of scriptures that we're talking about. But listen, you have everything you need to defeat a defeated foe. He's already defeated. It's part of our ethos. It's part of our character. It's a part of our culture in the Christian life. And we need people to remind us of it. And we need to remind each other that he is defeated. And I can pass through the temptation without falling. I can pass through the trial without giving up. I can persevere because of who Jesus is. And I have everything I need to live this life. Now the scripture says, listen, the first thing he says that you're to put on, it's to have your loins girded with truth. That's a message a few weeks ago. We're not gonna spend a lot of time there. Matter of fact, we're just gonna mention it. And we saw that the truth is God's word. It's godly doctrine. It's Jesus. We gird our loins for our core strength of our body, and then we come against the deceiver of the whole world. Second one is put on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice what he says. Stand firm. Gird your loins with truth. Truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is both the imputed righteousness of God, it's the practical righteousness of God. We also know from the letter of the First Thessalonians, or the Thessalonians, that the breastplate is a faith in love. So we put on faith and we walk in love. And then this breastplate, it protects the vital organs of your body, and it comes against the accuser of the brethren. And then last week we saw that we're to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. That's for standing firm, for never slipping, for running straight into the battle with great confidence. And feet are in the Christian life are for one thing, and that's destroying the head of the enemy, crushing the head of the enemy. Listen, this morning we're going to come to the final three of these warfares. And we're going to be spending some time over the next several weeks. But what I want to do right now is I want to look at these next three in symphony, okay, together, and see how they work as we are walking and moving in an offensive manner against the enemy. And so this is what he says. He says, in addition, verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which with you will be able to extinguish all the arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now here's this message, this part of the message in a nutshell. I have faith in my salvation, okay? Listen, I have a shield of faith. I have faith in my salvation, in the deliverance of my soul that God is working. And I have faith in my deliverance to always triumph by God's word. Say that with me. I have faith in my deliverance to always triumph by God's word. Let's say it a different way. I have faith in the finished work of salvation. Therefore, I always triumph through God's word. Let's say it one other way. I have faith in my deliverance from sin's power to always triumph through God's word. A shield of faith. I have faith. The Roman soldier's shield was not just the little Captain America shield, okay? Little round one. They did have that one. But their shields were like 3 to 4 feet. And I'm telling you, it covered most of the body. And it was used to extinguish fiery darts from the enemy. You've seen movies about it when they're meeting up with the war and they're in a defensive mode and they're coming against the enemy, and all of a sudden they start firing the fire arrows. And they put them over their heads or they put them down, and it protects and it extinguishes these flaming arrows. And what I want to say to you is that that's what faith in Christ and in your salvation does. If I could say it in any other way, it'd be like this. Listen, in the midst of the war, in the midst of the temptation, believe that you've got belief. Believe that you've got faith in who God is and what he's done and what he's doing right now, right then. Not afterwards. And yeah, before, but in the middle of the war, to practice this faith, to put this faith to action. I have faith. I have faith. And you know, when you look at faith, the big question is, what is that? What is faith? Go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Chapter 11. Great stories of faith in chapter 11. We call it the heroes of faith. Men and women who did things by faith, like quenching the power of fire and escaping the edge of the sword, and from weakness made strong, through faith becoming mighty in war and putting foreign armies to flight. By faith, women would receive back their dead by resurrection, and others even tortured and accepting their release, not accepting their release that they might obtain a better resurrection. He says this in verses 34 and 35, but in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Do you understand how powerful that passage is? Even in today's culture of evolution and trying to figure out how we all got here. No, as a believer, we have faith and understand that everything was prepared by God's word. God's word. What God said. By faith, we understand this. So that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. And then he says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying by his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, still speaks. And by faith, verse 5, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, because he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And watch, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Listen, he's not just talking about God's existence, believing that God exists, but it's God who is doing, who has done, who's accomplished, who's accomplishing, and will never stop accomplishing the great things in our lives. That's what faith is. It's believing the promises of God. As we saw a couple of weeks ago with the breastplate of faith and love, we say that, listen, it's by faith in what God said he's going to do that makes us righteous. And we looked at Abraham's life, remember, and how Abraham was made righteous because he believed the promise of God. And our breastplate is for that. But I would tell you, the shield of faith is not only a defensive weapon, but it's also an offensive weapon. In other words, you move with the shield. You move toward the enemy. You knock people down with it. You knock the enemy down with faith. It's what faith does. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe who God is, what he does, much of what his character is, and then to move with that, to move with what he says. Listen, this faith saves us from sin, and it joins us into oneness with the Father. We put our faith in the work of Christ, and then we turned from our sins. When you came to Christ, we believed that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He did for us right now, right here. We believe in the finished work of Calvary. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in the Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe who He is, and we believe what He says He's going to do. The Scripture says that faith is the assurance, it's the conviction of the truth. And the truth is Jesus, it's His Word. And when applied, it will always lead you to godliness. You know, there's a Scripture, Colossians 2:6 says this on the screen. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Let me ask you a question. How did you receive Christ? We're talking about it here. We came to understand that we needed a Savior, that we were full of sin, that we were separated from God, and that Jesus was sent to die in our place on the cross. That's a substitute for you and me. And He died for all of my sins, all of them. And when I came to Christ, it's because I came to faith to believe that what Jesus did, He did for me. He forgave me of my sins. He took my sins away. He comes to destroy the works of the devil. He comes to set free. It's what I believe because that's what He says He does. And the Bible says, listen, it's not just a one-time shot. Put that back up. It's not just a one-time shot. It's as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, or so war in Him, or so move to the next levels of maturity with Him. It's how we grow. It's the same principle when you got saved. Turn from sin. Turn to God. No longer put trust in myself for salvation, but put my trust in Him for salvation. And it's the same way in the war. When you're being tempted to be angry, and to be angry, and to be more angry, or tempted to lust and walk in lust, or tempted to fear or worry or walk in anxiety, it's the same principle that I had when I came to Christ. I turned from flesh, I turned from self, and I begin to live for God. As you've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. Today, right now, it's the source of victory. It's the source of triumph. It's not just a ticket punch where I get my ticket punch and I'm on my way to heaven. No, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to tell you, I'm growing in the benefits of heaven. Faith is believing what God says. It's how we live. We live by faith. Romans 1:17, the righteous shall live by faith. I've been crucified with Christ, the Scripture says. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who'm living, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living by faith, not by sight, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Listen, it's how we live. It's how we walk. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, if I know I have everything I need to live godly, and I know, as we read earlier, that Jesus, the Spirit of God, is living in me and He's interceding for me, and Jesus has died for me and He's still working it all out for me, and He's praying for me right now and praying for you right now. And if I know He's working it all out together, and there's no more condemnation, and there's no more junk coming from other things that I have to believe and receive, to know that I overwhelmingly conquer, then in the midst of the temptation, I'm believing in those things. I'm believing in the Word of God. But how come that's so hard for us? How come that's so hard for you and me to know this today, but leave here and within 20 minutes, you can be having an argument on the way home? That ever happened to you? Who said that? Yep. How can that be? You know who Christ is. You know what He's done. You know what He's provided. And you walk out of church, and within 20 minutes, there's an argument. There's a fuss. And by the nighttime, you've forgotten it all. And by Monday, you've got trials and tribulations. And instead of living this out, you're living something else out. Why is that so hard? Because you still want to live by sight. And we don't live by sight. We live by faith in the one who gave us this eternal life in Christ. We want to judge everything by what we see, not by what we believe. Really important. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's why when something comes up in your life and you get really frustrated over it and you're just trying to figure it out, which you probably need to figure it out, but listen, figure it out by faith, not by sight. When somebody is being uncomely or rude or whatever, walk by faith, not by sight. Ask God, what's going on in this person's life? What's taking place right now? I don't know what that might be happening in that person's life. But listen, get to this place to not default to what you see, but what you know by faith in Scripture. And that you conquer, and that you overwhelmingly conquer in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus. We walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, it's how we live, it's how we walk, it's how the fiery arrows of the enemy are quenched, it's how we triumph. Look at 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And you say, is that it? Is that all? Listen, we want to make life, the Christian life, so difficult. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but what I am saying, it's simple. Simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is simple. Do you believe that today? Say it. It's simple. Oh, boy. We're going to need to have rehearsal before church. It's simple. Not saying easy. Yeah, life's difficult. Things are hard. Things happen to us. But the principles are simple. It's how we triumph. It's through our faith in Christ and the finished work of Jesus. I have faith. It's the shield of faith. And then I have faith in the finished work of salvation. And we call this, he calls this the helmet of salvation. It's interesting when he gets to this place of salvation, he tells the Thessalonians what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Okay. I have faith in the salvation work of God in my life. I want to just say in the simplest way, listen, this is the principle by which we walk in victory in our faith. That we believe in the final work of Jesus. We believe that Jesus has been at work in our lives, but we believe in the final work. The Bible says that, listen, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And you were born again into the family of God. Now, this word salvation, it means deliverance, preservation, safety. It's the deliverance from the molestation of the enemy, and it's also means soul safety. Can you imagine? I read that. Soul safety. Sounds like a book. Soul safety. I mean, that's what salvation is. It's being safe in the arms of Christ. It's being safe in his life. It's being safe in who he is and in his presence. And I just want to tell you this. I believe with all my heart, Christ in God is always making sure that that is happening in our lives. Will you be aware of it? The helmet of salvation, it's what guards our minds in Christ Jesus. You put on the helmet and there's not a blow to the mind. God's salvation is the totality of what God accomplishes. I said this in passing a couple of weeks ago, but listen, we are saved. When we get saved, we get saved from the penalty of sin. We talked about that in the imputed righteousness of God. He declared us righteous, and we got saved from the penalty of sin. But then as we walk it out, we're being saved from sin's power. We're learning in our maturity in Christ, growing up in Christ Jesus, to say no to sin, to say no to unrighteousness, to say no to ungodliness, and yes to the righteousness of God. Not talking about perfection, we're talking about a direction by which today I'm being saved from the power of sin. And what that means is that, this is what I believe this means. It means when I look back over my year or 2 years, I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same lady. I'm not the same son. I'm not the same daughter as I was. I'm different because God's changing me. He's changing me and performing his salvation work in my life. Again, it's not just the ticket punch. It's the victorious work of God in my life by which I'm finding myself more free and more free from that anger, from that lust, from that greed, from that fear, from that junk, from that stuff. And I'm learning to let go of the things of the flesh so I might embrace the Spirit of God with everything that I am. No, you're saved from sin's penalty. You are saved from sin's power. You're being saved from sin's power. And we will be saved from sin's presence. No longer sin in our presence. He'll take it all away. And that's why he calls it the hope of salvation. Let me tell you about hope for just a minute. Hope is not just a wishing. Hope in the Christian life is not just saying, well, I hope this person likes me. I hope I get this. I hope we can go out tonight. I hope we can go to get dinner tonight. I hope we can get a babysitter today. Now, that kind of hope is just kind of a fishy hope. It may happen and it may not. I want to tell you, this is not a hope that is fishy. It's not some hope that could or could not happen. No, this hope in Scripture in the New Testament is an anticipation of what God promised. It's something that I'm anticipating. I'm believing that's going to happen in the future, in the near future. I believe that he has saved me. He's delivered me. But the hope of this final salvation is something that has not taken place yet. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that, wait, listen, we are the sons of God. But he says it's not yet appeared what we'll be. In other words, we're not there yet. But we know that when he appears, we'll be there. We'll be like him. And we're going to see him just as he is. And then he says this, and if you have that hope, if you have that anticipation of what's to happen in the future, then what you'll do is you'll purify yourself right now, right here, by this great hope and salvation. Yeah, I put the helmet of salvation on. I'm putting it on, and it's on me. I know that I'm saved. I know that God has done this work in my life, but I see him working right now. And then when I'm looking at the battle, and I'm looking at the trial, and I'm looking at the hardship of life, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt by faith that that's all going to end, and I'm going to be free, totally free from that stuff called sin. Amen? I have faith in the finished work of Christ. I put up the shield of faith and I believe in the salvation work of God. I have faith in the finished work of salvation. Let me give you a few passages of scriptures just real briefly. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I'm suffering things, but I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I believe. I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Until what day? The day he appears and we're like him. And he says that, listen, he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. 1 Peter 1:5, who we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. Jude 1:24, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless in great joy. And 1 Thessalonians 5:25, 24, faithful is he who calls you, and faithful is he who will bring it to pass. The salvation work of God. I'm in the war. I have faith. I'm putting up the shield of faith. It's extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy. My faith is in the salvation work of God. Therefore, I triumph through God's words. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. I've got the shield of faith. And by the way, there are other shields. Hand-to-hand battle, you have shield, smaller shield, and you have sword. Sometimes it's a long sword, sometimes it's a short sword. But there's something great about this final armor piece. You remember we talked about girding your loins with truth, and we said it was God's word, And the Bible says, and Jesus said this in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. What he said this. He said, and I know some of you are familiar with this, but just be patient because there's others in here that don't. Okay. There's two words for the word word. The first is logos. That's the one God says Jesus uses in John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy logos is truth. The logos is the whole counsel of God. It's everything that God says. It's all that God has revealed in Scripture, in His Word. That's what logos is. It's every word, all the words of God that He speaks. Now, let me ask you a question. When you open your Bible, do you get something in that reading out of everything you read? If you do, I need you to disciple me. I want to be discipled by you. Now, we open the Word, and sometimes, what? It's dry sometimes. Is that right? It just is. Sometimes it is. And you're reading along, and you're reading along the logos, and all of a sudden, it jumps off the page. And you go, oh, it speaks to me. Some of you in this place here during a sermon, you've been bold enough to keep on reading when I've stopped and have quit paying attention to me. Which sometimes can be good because you can read the next thing and say, oh, gosh, I needed to see that. That's a rhema. It's the specific word that God gives you. Listen to me. It's the specific word God gives you in the moment. And I think about the sword of the Spirit and war and hand-to-hand battle and the enemy's lies coming toward us and the temptation comes. And what do? We take the rhema of God, the word that God gives us in that moment for the annihilation of that thought, of that temptation, of that word of the enemy. And God is so good to do that, isn't He? In a quiet time when you're struggling, how many times have you listened to something on the radio or even a song of Scripture based on Scripture and God spoke to your heart and then you heard that song 100 times before, but something happened and God stirred your heart and you got something out of it and God spoke to it. He might have rebuked you. He might have encouraged you. He might have done something in your life and reminded you of something that became the rhema of God. And that's what this sword of Spirit is. He says it. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. You know, it's interesting about this word. Do you remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? And God had told him. Jesus had said, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. I want to say this. That was a rhema. That was a word to Peter. He didn't tell it to anybody else, did he, that night? He just said, Peter, this is the word. This is the rhema. You're going to deny me 3 times. But you know what else he said? You're going to deny me. Or Satan's going to sift you like wheat, but you're going to return. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. Well, it's interesting because Matthew 26:75, when he sins that third time, and the Bible says he sees Jesus in one of the translations, or one of the Gospels, he sees Jesus. He remembered the rhema which Jesus has said, before a rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he wept bitterly. I think that's just phenomenal. Matter of fact, if you'll go to Bible apps and you look up the word word and see where all it is, where all the words of Scripture that speak of rhema, the individual word, the sword of the Spirit. In Luke 1:37, when the angel told Mary she'd have a baby without ever knowing a man, he said, because nothing will be impossible with God. He said, no rhema, no word will be impossible with God. And then Mary says, may it be done according to your rhema. I'm a virgin, and I really, really got to walk by faith and not by sight on this one. You're supposed to smile at that one. I really, really got to walk by faith on this one because I don't know, I've not known a man, and I'm not planning on knowing one until I'm married. Until I'm married. But may it be done according to your rhema. Do you know why it's so important to be in the truth and the word every day? Because God wants to bless you with rhema every day. Isn't that right? Every day he wants to bless you with a rhema. Because in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, in the midst of the temptation of Jesus, the very first one, he says, hey, turn this bread. You're hungry. You haven't eaten in all these days. And so here's some stones. Turn the stones into bread. And Jesus said, I wouldn't do that unless I saw my Father doing it. Unless I hear my Father saying to do it. Yeah, I could do it. Now, I can make some good bread right now out of these stones. But the Bible says man shall not live on bread alone, but every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, one of the things of all these years of preaching and speaking and teaching you, there never comes a day or week, maybe sometime in the week where I'm studying that, I said, oh God, may this word go out and may people receive this rhema. May they get a rhema from this somehow. I don't expect you to get everything out that I say. Please hear what I'm saying. But I want to put enough out there so that you can say, I don't need that, but boy, I need that on the buffet. I need that there. Oh, God spoke to me in this so that you get a rhema. And so listen, every time you open your Bible, And you know, I want to say this. I had a picture this week with the kids, camp. You all went to camp. Stand up. Would y'all stand up and went to camp? I know y'all are here all over the. Yeah, you went to camp. Thanks. You can sit down. Yeah, it was a great, great camp. That was quick, wasn't it? Y'all stand up again. Let me talk a minute. Go on. Yeah, stand up again. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, go on. We had about 80 people at camp this week. And I just want you to know, this is a blessing. It's always a blessing to go. And I just tell you, I was watching kids go out one day, and they were carrying their Bible, and they were carrying their notebook. And we go, and we sit down, and we after worship, and they get out their Bibles and they get out their notebook, and they're carrying their notebook. I ask you, how many of you are carrying a notebook into church? And write out that what God's speaking to you. Okay, you can be seated now. Okay, yeah. Well, by the way, we had one gal saved. Amen. And we had two or three commit to ministry. Huh? Two salvations. Oh, yeah, yeah. This guy here, one of them, right? Two first giving their life to Christ. And then how many? Three who said, God's calling us into vocational ministry. So, what a great thing. But I tell you this is because I think about the Word. You got to be in the Word of God every day. And you know, sometimes you might go 3 days and it might be a struggle. But don't stop, because you never know what you might miss or get on the fourth day. It may be hard the first and second, you know, third day. But hey, what happened on the third day? Jesus came alive. He may come alive in that moment to speak to your heart, so that you run to do what God's asking you to do. And I don't mean just physically run, but run in your heart, run in your mind, run in your emotions to do the things that God is saying to do, or to stop doing those things. It's really good having the Sands back with us this week. But one of the things that Chad was telling us at lunch, dinner the other night is that he leads this Bible study. And said, one thing about this men's Bible study is that they'll be reading and they go, oh, I got to start doing this. When's the last time you looked at the Word and said, I got to start doing this? Well, that's been too long. I got to start doing this. I've got to build on this. I've got to stop doing this. This is the vibrancy of the Christian life. It's the sword of the Spirit, so that when you're out and about and the enemy's coming like a flood, you're taking this shield of faith. It's extinguishing the lies of the enemy. And then you know you've got this salvation right now, right here, and this future salvation, and you're wielding the rhema of God coming against the enemy of God. The enemy of your soul, our soul as a church, it's the Word of God. The Bible says man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word, every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. Listen, in the Logos, with our Bibles, with our notebooks, we're asking God for a word. And you know, how many of you read your Bible through every day? Anybody? Well, oh gosh, not too many. Okay. How many are reading your Bible every day? Okay. Man, think about it for a moment. Are you reading that Bible just to get through? Are you reading that Bible to get a word to get you through? Because I can get in a habit and read my Bible every day, and it becomes such a habit and becomes so rote that I just got to finish this passage. No, listen, I'm reading through Matthew right now. The other day, I didn't get through the first five verses. And I didn't beat myself up because I didn't finish the chapter. No, because God was speaking to me in those first four. But that's what happens to us. You hear me? I got to get in the Word. I got to get in the Word, and I'm not getting anything. Well, listen, if you'll take these things we're talking about with this great anticipation of God speaking to you so that he'll give you the rhema that you need, I want to tell you, you will grow in your faith. You'll grow like wildfire grows. I want to ask, how excited and how passionate are you about this eternal word of God that he happened to give you and me through Scripture, so that that Scripture can come off the page to give you a rhema? This is the sword of the Spirit. I have faith, shield of faith, in the finished work of salvation, the helmet of salvation. Therefore, I will always triumph through God's word, through God's rhema. Let me tell you just one little application about this, okay? And I'm going to give a plug for the Married Life class, okay? How many of you have seen or have felt or have known a season in your life where your marriage was under attack? Yeah, under attack. And you know, what happens is the enemy comes with his lies, his flaming arrows. And really, that's what the arrows are all about. They're lies. They're lies of the enemy. And it's the lies like you married the wrong person. The wrong person, you married the wrong person. Or y'all are just too different. Told you that before you're married. Just too different. Well, duh. We are different. Aren't we? Aren't men different from women? Hey, women, right? Yeah, we're just different. We're different from y'all. We were made different. Lies like, you'll never come to agree. She's not your match. He's not your match. I missed my match. It'll always be like this. He'll never forgive you for that. She'll never forgive you that. You just need to be guilty about where you failed last year or last 10 years. It'll never be great. Just wait for that other person that come along that is your match. Or you just got to do what you got to do to make you happy. You just got to look out for you. Lies of the enemy. Marriage under attack. But I put on the shield of faith. I believe in what the Word says about my marriage. That God, what God starts, he finishes. Why can't that be about our marriages, our children's marriages, our grandchildren's marriages? Why can't that be? That what God starts, he finishes. And the marriage going from the day I said I do to the day we die is a picture of the God who finishes well. You know, and I think about the shield of faith. I want to believe what God says about our marriage. And this is what God says. You are one. The two shall become one flesh. I will make a helpmate suitable for you. We are suitable. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. We are one. We are suitable. And this is permanent. I'm putting the shield of faith up and I'm disputing the lies of the enemy by believing what God says. And I put on the helmet of, salvation, that God finishes what he starts. And I take the sword of the Spirit and I speak the rhema of God back at the enemy or at my friends who are speaking like the enemy. What does God say about us? What does God say about your marriage today? These are the things we believe, because the enemy's going to come, and that whatever God says, he's going to say something different. He's going to say something different. And we have to use the rhema of God. This is walking by faith, not by sight. Remember, it might look bad, it might look difficult, it might look hard, but we look through the eyes of faith of what God promises. And listen, wherever you've been in the past, let's forget about that. Let's talk about where you are today, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy today. Well, I take the word of God, the rhema of God, and not only believe it, but speak it back to those circumstances. I'll give you another example, and then we'll close with this morning. A lot of you know my story of being set free from the fear of dying young. And I'd had it since I was 10 years old till I was 27. And I'm telling you this because, and I'm reminding you this, but I just know that I know that I know that I know that when God set me free, I got free from it. Totally. Chain off. I even got to this place and said, God, even if you slay me, I'll trust you. It's like Job said. And about 4 weeks into it, I was getting ready for something. It was early in the morning, and I was showering. And I won't get into much detail except right along in this area here, I have a lump there that the doctors have always assured me that that's just a little simple thing called lymphoma, little benign tumor. Sometimes they grow. Sometimes they grow real big. And that doctors had told me this in my fear. Okay. And this morning, that morning, I was, you know, how you do, you soap up, right? And my hand went across that thing, and the first thing I heard was, it grew. Last night. It grew. It's gotten bigger. And I'm just going to tell you this. When you're in the middle of stuff and you're in the middle of junk and you're in the middle of bondage, you're just in the middle of it. And if you're in bondage to it, it's like that dog chain around your neck, you know, and it's around the dog's neck, and it just pulls you. It just pulls you. And I would tell you, every time I had a fiery dart like that, I mean, it just choked me and took me to that place of walking in fear. Maybe that does that for those that struggle with lust and pornography. The chain just gets around your neck and it just pulls you. Or anger or greed or worry or fear or anxiety. And I remember, I can't tell you that I did exactly what I'm telling you today, but I look back, I put up the shield of faith. And this is what I said. Let me just do this. This is what I said. I will not walk in agreement with you. So I said. And you know, I look back over that, I was 27 years old, learning some new things about spiritual warfare. And I realized something. Put up the shield of faith that I don't have to walk with you. I don't have to hear your lies. I don't have to walk in agreement with you another day, another minute, another moment. Why? Because my salvation in Christ is secure. It was secure from the day I was 8 years old to right now until I was 27. Secure. And what God has done in the last few weeks as he's delivered me from the power of this sin, therefore I'll take the Spirit of the Lord, I'll take the Word of the Lord, which is the Word of the Spirit. What? Sword of the Spirit, thank you. I'm still in the shower. I take the sword of the Spirit and speak the word back. I am free from that. And even if God slays me, I'm going to trust in him. In the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the temptation of Jesus, and we're going to look at David and how he took these things in symphony to come against Goliath, and how Jesus came against Satan. Bring a friend. Invite a friend. If you're out of town, watch it online. Listen, we're going to have some victory things going on here because we're learning how to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand together. I want to pray for you, okay? Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as I pray so often, I'm asking, Lord, believing your word as a rhema today, that your word never returns void but accomplishes exactly what you desire. And I'm asking that you do that in the congregation today. I'm asking you to do that online. I'm asking you to do that if somebody's going to listen on the radio one day to this message. That God, that we would take the scripture today and find the rhema of God so that we might live it and speak it in faith because of our salvation. And I pray that right now, Lord. Okay, I'm just going to be silent for just a moment. I'm going to ask the question. Is there something in this service that has resonated with you? That God has spoken to you? Has God given you a rhema today? And what is it? What is it? What is God saying to you? What is your takeaway this morning? Would you talk about that sometime today? This is what God spoke to me today about spiritual warfare. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that as we speak it, it would grow and grow and grow in our lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Raise a hand. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here, and forever. May you walk in shalom peace. It's the safety. It's the free from suffering. It's the ease of being. It's the joy of the Lord. Shalom, peace of God. May that be yours today, and may it be this week and forever. Receive it as a rhema of God today. Amen and amen. All right. God bless you.